is an excerpt from a Sunday feast Bhagavad Gita lecture.
But 5,000 years ago, this Kali Yuga began. That means that bad times set in. According to Vedic chronology, history moves through great cycles, or yugas. Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, then Kali Yuga. Like spring, summer, autumn, winter. We see the seasonal rotation is going on even within our own experience. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. And even geologists have some hint of some larger rotation, ice age, cold season, hot season, bigger. But the Vedic sages, Vedas tell us that are big, huge rotations of these four yugas. Four 4,300,000 years, one big rotation, 320,000. So this Kali Yuga is 1/10 of that, 432,000 years. Began 5,000 years ago, like winter. So all our historical memory now that we have is from Kali Yuga. The same time the Vedas say Kali Yuga began, modern historians say civilization rose up. A coincidence, huh? What we call civilization, they see, oh, it's bad things. Not good for us, spiritual life. So at that time, the Vedas are written down so that it would still be preserved in spite of people's memories becoming bad. And at that time also, Krishna descended himself and spoke this Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. That same verse, Vedaishcha Sarva Ahameva Vejo Vedavit Vedantakrit Eva Chaham, Krishna says. I am, all the Vedas are searching after me, Vedavit. I am the knower of the Vedas. Vedanta Krit, and I am the compiler of the Vedanta. This is Krishna. He is actually the final authority on the end of knowledge. So he comes and speaks this Bhagavad Gita just to let us know what is the purpose of the Vedas. It's a vast literature. It recommends many different things. There are many schools who follow different parts of the Vedas. They argue about what is the Siddhanta, what is the final conclusion. Krishna would see that as Kali Yuga gets worse, everybody will become more and more confused because the intelligence, level of intelligence goes down steadily. He says, this is what I'll do. I'll just spell it out. What is the end of the Vedas? What is everyone searching for? Krishna says, it is I. So you don't have to be very intelligent to understand the Bhagavad Gita. After all, it's in the middle of the Mahabharata. You can see it on television. Of course, they leave that part out. But you notice how people will like to see, of all the things, can you imagine, you know, turning on the television set and seeing the Chandogya Upanishad? No. But you'll see the Mahabharata, because that's more like a soap opera. You know, it's a story. Of course, I don't mean, it's Shastra, I don't mean to demean it. But it's the kind of thing that people are interested in. It's a wonderful story. It's a great history. But it's all an excuse for the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, that part they leave out. Fast forward through the Bhagavad Gita. But this was Krishna's strategy to put this Bhagavad Gita in the middle of the Mahabharata. It is like the setting, and the Bhagavad Gita is the jewel in the setting. So here Krishna says, he's telling us we should accept it simply on his authority. What is all the business of these Vedas? What are we looking for? What are we trying to find out when we're trying any process of knowledge? When I say Veda, I don't even mean to say a group of books in Sanskrit from India. Veda means knowledge. Any process of knowledge. If it's actually a process of knowledge. If you're Gyanavan, you will discover Krishna. After all, what are the scientists looking for? They're looking for the smallest thing. They're taking particles and colliding them with each other at higher and higher states of energy and breaking them into little pieces to try to see what comes out. What's the smallest thing in the heart of the atom? Why are they looking for that? Because they're looking for Krishna. He is in the center of every atom. As a super soul, Paramatma. All activity is going around in that atom because of the presence of Paramatma. They're looking for the smallest, the essential principle running the whole universe. And also they go out bigger and bigger, you know, look for what's happening on the cosmic scale. What are the laws governing the whole operation of the whole universe? And also they have this notion. They can fit it all together in one equation, you know, the unified field. Where do they get this idea from? Who says it has to be unified? No, they just have this feeling that there must be one behind everything. If they find that one, if they become Bahunam Janmanam Ante, Gyanavan, they actually become wise. They will see Vasudeva Sarvam and they'll surrender to him. Then their search for knowledge will be complete. Whatever search for knowledge, it will end in Krishna. So this is Krishna says it flat out. There should not be any more dispute over what is the meaning of the Vedas. First of all, in India you have so many pundits and they've produced so many libraries of material. What is the meaning of the Vedas? The followers of the Purva Mamamsa, the followers logic, Gautama, all these different, you know, the Shaddarshan, six different schools of philosophy, they have their different opinions. Actually, it says in Mahabharata that one cannot be a muni, a sage, if he merely agrees with everyone else. If you want to be a muni, you have to have a new opinion. That is an odd requirement for the search for truth. Same way in a university, you write your doctoral dissertation, you have to show something new. If you merely agree, your career is at once at an end. So there's so many opinions there. And now in Kali Yuga, also more opinions. Various kinds of historians, Indologists, they're all looking at the Vedas. So there's a literature of opinions. It's like a babble of voices. It sounds like, you know, a crowd of people at a football match. Everyone talking. And nobody knows. But who knows? Krishna knows. He's come and he's spoken this. How can you mistake what he says? Well, they've managed. But here it is, it's so simple. Bahunam, Janmanam, after many births, Gyanavan, if you are wise, what do? Mam prapadyate. Well, people are still putting up different theories about what it means, mam prapadyate. or what it means, Ganava. And so we shouldn't have theories. That's why Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita as it is. Some will say, oh, this is Prabhupada's interpretation. No. It's as it is. This is Krishna's interpretation. It's not somebody else trying to squeeze something else out of it. Krishna says, surrender to me. And Srila Prabhupada says, surrender to Krishna. Simple thing. I'm Srila Prabhupada's disciple. I say, surrender to Krishna. Why do I say such a thing? Because Krishna says, surrender to me. What else can I do? Am I smarter than Krishna? Do I know more than Bhagavad Gita? No. So we should know, even if we're not very intelligent, even if we can't study all the way, just study this Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Prabhupada explains here. He says in the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning toward impersonalism. That's a fact. We can understand that. A person, in the early stages of spiritual life, becomes disgusted with everything material. Becomes disgusted with his body. He becomes disgusted with his thoughts. He becomes disgusted with his activities because he realizes that my attachment to this body, my materialistic thoughts full of lust and greed, my materialistic activities based on lust and greed, they're all leading me to hell. All my materialistic relationships, they're leading me to hell. So in reaction to that, he wants to go into spiritual life and he thinks there'll be no form, no relationships, no activities, no thoughts like that. And so then he thinks of spiritual life as just the opposite of his material qualities, material names, material forms, material activities. So he thinks that in transcendence there's nothing that can be said or spoken or done. It's just the kind of negation. So this is taught in some parts of the Vedas. And up to a point, it's correct. There are, in transcendence, in the liberated state, there are no material thoughts. There are no material activities. There are no material desires. There are no material relationships. But that does not mean that there is nothing at all. There are spiritual thoughts, spiritual activities, spiritual desires, and spiritual relationships. Because there is, in transcendence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That name, Krishna, is not a material name. The form of Krishna is not a material form. You see what Krishna looks like? Here's Krishna with Radha. So you think that, you think Krishna is a human being? No, we don't think he's a human being. Well, he has a body. Yes, he has a body. Well, then he's material. No, he's not material. That's because a materialist assumes all form is material form. He assumes all names are material names. He assumes all qualities are material qualities. And that all activities are material activities. Who said so? Where is it written? So they imagine that the Supreme or transcendence has no name, no form, no qualities, no activities. They think that if God had a form, it would be a form like mine that grows old, that has teeth that rot, that has hair that falls out. No. Who said the form has to be like that? You think if he has a form, it must be material form, then you deny him form. No. Why throw the baby out with the bathwater? There's spiritual form. Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Veda says. There's a form that is Satchit Ananda. So Krishna's there. We can't imagine him with our materially contaminated senses. We can't perceive him with our materially contaminated senses. That's true. If with our materially contaminated senses, we look into transcendence, we'll just draw a blank. We'll see, at the best, a glare of white. And we'll be blinded by the light. And then we'll say, oh, there's nothing there, no name, no form. That's our blindness. If you go abruptly from the darkness to the light, and you have eyes that are suited for the darkness, and the light is on, what will you see? You'll see nothing. Only if your eyes adapt to the light will you be able to see what is going on in the light. So in the first stages of spiritual realization, people who are in the darkness will have some glimpse of transcendence, but all they'll see is a glare of light. But if we develop further our spiritual vision, just like our eyes getting adapted to the light, then we'll see so many things are going on. And so Prabhupada says here, in the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there's some leaning toward impersonalism. But when it's further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in spiritual life. And these activities constitute devotional service. That is what Krishna is right. Why are you thinking he's telling Arjuna to fight? Why he's saying, yad karosi, yad jajnas, whatever you do, whatever activity you perform, do that as an offering to me. Why is he saying these things? Because those activities that are done for Krishna produce no karma. They are not material activities. This is what Bhagavad Gita is about. That if we perform our activities for the sake of the Lord, we are in transcendence. So this activities of devotional service are there. That's the highest. That is beyond this impersonalism. People who are on the impersonal platform, they'll sometimes think that, oh, Krishna is some material idea, and when I'm more advanced, that will go away. And this is not advanced. That Brahma Jyoti is coming off of the transcendental form of Krishna. That's why Krishna says, Gyanavan, those who are Gyanis, Mam Prapadyate. What do they understand? Not neti neti. What do they understand? Vasudeva Sarvam. It's true, he is not material. But still, Vasudeva Sarvam. They fall in love with Krishna. Prabhupada says here, they realize that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything. That everything is in relationship to him. That's spiritual vision. Spiritual vision means that one becomes a devotee. He wants to utilize everything in Krishna's service. And therefore he sees everything in relationship to Krishna. Therefore, he sees everything as it is, spiritual. So this is described in the Upanishads. How everything is Krishna's energy and is related to him and is therefore divine.